A song which is called Beautiful anticipates that which we look forward to at the final consummation of time when we shall be at home in glory. We appreciate very much your presence for this Lord's Day morning service. We have several visitors with us, and we're just elated that you've come our way and hope you can come back. Among our visitors, Maxine and I are glad to have my brother and sister from the great state of Oklahoma with us, Tom and Glenita Hoagland are with us, and Bob and Dolores Craig are with us today, and we're glad to have them for us over the weekend and for this Lord's Day service. I'm calling your attention to the reading of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, which was read in your hearing a few moments ago, where the Apostle Paul says, "Then cometh the end," and this is in verse 24, "when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God to the Father." This is at the final consummation of time. Now, prior to that, he mentions in verse 23 something that I want to talk about, the Apostle Paul does. In verse 23, he says, "But every man in his own order." And then he says, "Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming." Very, very significant there. "Then cometh the end." That's the end of time. Okay? He uses the word order here from the Greek word tasso. A.T. Robertson, the Greek lexicographer, says this is a military term and has reference to rank, the different rank in the army, I guess, or wherever one might be. Other lexicographers tell us that it has to do with a sequence of time as things may happen. And I believe here, ladies and gentlemen, he's just talking about the fact that certain things will happen at a certain time, before and after and follow. And that's exactly what he's talking about. And since he said this is God's order, that's the way it's going to be. Let's notice the text. He says, "Every man in his own order," and that's the word we're emphasizing. He says, "Christ, the first fruits." Christ was the first to be raised from the dead, never to die again. And he is referred to as the first fruits. When you go out to the orchard, and if you have a peach orchard and you find the first peach, you pick it off and you say, "Well, this is the first fruits. This is our first peach," and you take it in and show it to your wife, and you're proud of it. It's the first one. Doesn't mean that others will not follow, and indeed they do. And metaphorically, what Paul does is use that terminology in regard to the resurrection. He says that Christ is the first fruits of the grave. That is, he's the first to be raised, never to die again. He wasn't the first to be raised because other people were raised, such as Lazarus. But what he's talking about, never to die again. And that's the sense in which we're going to be raised because we're going to follow in this order, you see. He says, "Christ, the first fruits of the grave." And then he mentions them, they that are Christ at his coming. I'm impressed with the fact that he uses the noun Christ here, but he uses the possessive case. What is it? Who are Christs? Christ, apostrophe S. Well, it means Christians. You know, they were called Christians first at Antioch. The word Christian is a compound word. You can't say it without saying Christ. And then it has a little suffix on it, I-A-N, Christians, Christian. If you say, "I'm a Mississippian," it means you belong to Mississippi. If you say, "I'm an Oklahomian," with that suffix, it means you belong to Oklahoma. When you say the name Christian, it means you belong to Christ. That's the meaning of the word. Peter said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." And so that's the meaning of the word. Now, what's the difference in being a Christian and being Christ? No difference at all. Christians do belong to Christ, that possessive noun. Did you notice that in the text? They that are Christ at his coming. He's talking about the fact that Christians are going to be raised. And he's giving a sequence, and he's giving an order here. And then the last thing in this scenario is then cometh the end. So it gives us three things: Christ's resurrection, the resurrection of the righteous, and number three, the end of the world. Now, there are some other things that are involved in the order of God. Every man, remember that's our word, order, the sequence, the time sequence. And I believe there's at least five things that are mentioned, and I'm going to read them to you in the Bible and give you proof out of the Scriptures. First, let's start with them. Christ, the order, we're talking about the order of God now. What's going to take place? Christ was going to be raised first. Now, that's already happened. So that's behind us. But the next thing is in the future. All the rest of it's in the future. That is the order of God. It hadn't happened yet. But it's going to happen just as much as Christ was raised from the dead. That's in the past. What's the next thing on the agenda in the order of God? I tell you, my friends, it's the coming of the Lord. And that's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. What's the next thing? That's two things. What's the next thing? Well, the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. I'm going to read that to you out of the Bible. That's the third thing, the order. Then what's next? Well, the ones who are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them in the air. That's number four, you see. That's number four. I'm giving you the order as this word is used in the Bible. And I believe every man in his own order, and I believe this is the order of God. I believe these are God's orders, see. And so you have then the Christians raised. But what comes next? The end. The end of what? The end of the world. What's going to happen to it? Well, I'll read it to you if I have time. It's going to be burned up, according to 2 Peter. We'll read that a little bit later on. And so this is the order in which God gives us these things. And I want to study the order with you. And we've already mentioned the resurrection of Christ, and I have vindicated that. It's vindicated in the Bible. The next thing I want to read to you is about his second coming. That's the second thing in this order sequence. You remember, that's our word. I have my Bible open to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to begin with verse 13. And I'm going to read it to you just out of the Bible. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope." I want you to notice several things in this verse, but one thing especially. He says, I don't want you to sorrow about your dead loved ones. These Thessalonian brethren were grieving over their loved ones who had been buried, dead and buried. They thought they were gone forever. Paul says, that's not so. I want to tell you what's going to happen to them. And that's a part of the order of God. Let's read the text. He says, the ones who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Which means that some people who die don't have hope, and some do have hope. Who has hope when they die? Well, it's those people who belong to Christ. You remember that noun, Christ, or Christians? Well, they have hope, but people who are not Christians don't have hope. And that's a sad scenario. Notice that's what he said. As others who have no hope. Paul, do you mean some folks die and don't have hope? Well, he said, that's what I said. That's what I said. There's some folks don't have any hope. And there's others who do. All right, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. And so in the sense that they're going to be raised first, it says he's going to bring those people. Who? Dead Christians. Dead people who are Christ, which we studied that noun, if you remember. Okay? He says, for this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Well, the Thessalonian brethren thought they would. For some reason, it got out in the church back in those days that if you could be living when the Lord came, that you'd have an advantage over people who died. You'd have a big advantage if you could just survive until the Lord came. Paul says that's really not so, because the dead in Christ are going to rise first. First in regard to what? In regard to the people who are alive. The context shows that. That's what he's talking about. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. There you have it. Plain as a nose on your face. We're talking about the order of God. I said first, Christ was raised. Secondly, Christ's going to appear. How's he going to appear? Well, it says here he's going to appear in the clouds, in the air, in the sky. I believe that. Well, what's going to accompany, what's going to sound out the end of things? Well, he says it's going to be the voice of God and the trump of God and the archangel. And he says the trump of God and the dead in Christ. So there's going to be, the Lord's going to descend himself. And I notice that pronoun himself, he's not going to send someone else. The Lord's going to, is going to be personally the Lord. And he's going to come, and he's going to be up there in the clouds, in the air. There's no evidence that he's even going to set foot on this earth. He's going to stay up there. I'm going to prove it to you in the text. I'm going to read it to you if you believe the Bible. All you have to do is just read it. You may not have paid any attention to it, but you need to. You need to pay attention to what it says, because it's important. He says, then we which are alive, we Christians. He's talking about Christian people here. Paul uses the pronoun we. Paul was a Christian man. We which are alive, notice what it says, and remain unto the, shall be caught up together with them. The them would be the dead Christians, the ones who had died, you see. They're already up there. And so if you happen to be living when the Lord comes, the first thing you're going to notice is the graveyards are going to be opened, and any Christians are going to go up into the sky and be caught up. That word caught up means raptured. Someone says, do you believe in the rapture? I believe in a Bible rapture. I don't believe in the premillennial rapture. That's a false one. But the word caught up comes from word which means raptured, caught up. So I believe that. And I believe when the Lord comes, he's going to be sitting up there in the clouds, in the air, not on earth. And the third thing that happens after he comes is the dead from the graveyard, Christians, are going to be caught up there with the Lord. And if you're still alive, you're going to be still standing here on earth, hoping that you're next, hoping that you can take off next. Well, after the dead are up there, and you can see them up there with the Lord, we which are alive and remain to his coming, then we're going to be caught up with them. We Christians. Those who are Christ's. You remember that word over there in 1 Corinthians 15? They that are Christ's means Christians. Same thing. And so if you're a Christian and you've lived right, you're going to be caught up with them, that is the dead, the ones who have already died, and you're going to be with the Lord. Where? Well, I want to read to you what it says. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the A-I-R, air. Not on earth. You know what the air is. You know what the clouds are, don't you? That's what the Bible said. The Bible doesn't say he's going to set foot on this earth. He's going to be up there, and we're Christian people are going to be caught up there. Well, now, someone says, preacher, wait a minute. Doesn't John the 5th chapter say, marvel not at this, for all that are in their grave shall hear his voice, they that have done good in the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil in the resurrection of condemnation? Yes, it says that. But he isn't discussing the resurrection of the wicked here. He isn't discussing the resurrection of people who are not Christians. Although they're going to be raised at the same time, and all of them are going to be standing around on the earth, viewing those people that are caught up in the air, you see. And of course, Christian people are hoping that after the dead have been raised and caught up, the third thing in this order, I'm talking about an order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I gave it to you. It's in the Bible. I believe it's important. It's God's order. Every man in his own order from Tasso. Okay? Now I want to tell you. You're standing here on earth and you say, well, I see my father and mother, they were Christians, and I see they've gone on to be with the Lord. They're up there. I hope I can take off here in a minute. And you will if you're a Christian. Someone says, but what if people around me are caught up and I'm not? Well, that's a pretty bad sign. One or two things. You're either not a Christian or you haven't been living right. That's just the way it's going to be. And you can't take off. Now, some people may take off around you and caught up there with the Lord in the air. But you're not going to take off because you got to be faithful unto death. Someone says, but I was baptized, preacher. I was baptized 50 years ago. Now, I haven't gone to church very much and I haven't done much to serve the Lord. Well, you're in pretty bad shape. Because the Lord hadn't promised to save you. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. And so, who's going to be caught up? Well, it's Christian people. People who have served the Lord. People who are diligent. And but someone says, do you mean this body itself? No, now, I didn't say that. Yeah, right here in the 15th chapter, in this same chapter, and I'll read it later on. I'll just give it to you now. He says, if we remain until the coming of the Lord, we'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal body will put on immortality. And so what will happen while you're standing there, you're going to be changed into a different body just like that. in a twinkling of an eye. Now, that's pretty fast. Someone says, you believe that? Oh, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe that. And I believe you're going to be changed, because flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that explicitly. Therefore, I don't mean you're going to be caught up in this body into heaven, but you're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then you're going to be caught up there to be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord, as he said. And so what have we found out? Well, we're studying order. We found out, number one, Christ is the first fruits. Follow me closely. Christ, the first fruits. Then Christ is going to come in the clouds, in the air. The dead in Christ are going to be raised up there, caught up with him, raptured. And then we Christians who remain on earth are going to be caught up with them, so shall it be with the Lord. But someone says, what about people that are not caught up? Well, they're going to be left here on earth for the time being. Someone says, will they witness this? I suppose they will. I suppose they'll witness this great scenario that's going to take place. And after this, the Bible says the end is coming. Now, before I talk about the end, I want to turn over here to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, if you don't mind, because Paul here mentions some other things in regard to his coming to the same, in the second letter he wrote unto them. In verse 7, chapter 1, he said, and to you who are troubled, I'm in verse 7, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So that's another thing that's going to accompany the Lord, is his mighty angels. That shout of the trump of God, and the angels are going to be with him at this time. And he said, rest with us. The word rest here is a noun, not a verb. It's the object of the verb which we have recompense in verse 6. He's going to recompense rest unto Christians, but recompense punishment to the ones who are evil. The Lord's going to do that. That verb recompense, and this is a noun, the object of that verb, not a verb. Rest is a noun here. It could be a verb, but it isn't here. He says, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel in flaming fire. That's another thing. And he says, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. That's what we call a hellfire sermon, if you want to call it that. That's what it is. Some people don't like hellfire sermons, you see. But the Lord's going to come, and he's going to take vengeance on the one who know not God and obey not the gospel. Someone says, I didn't know you could obey the gospel. Oh, yes, you can. You can obey the gospel. And he's going to take vengeance on you if you haven't. Did you notice that? You're going to be the part that's going to be standing down here on earth and can't be raptured up. You can't make it. That's going to be a sad day. You know, we have a song, there's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. You know, remember, we sing that. And for some folks, it is going to be a sad day. It's going to be a sad day. And he said, he's taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, you see, those saints are going to be with him up there, glorified in his saints, and to be admired of all them that believe, and you will admire him on that day. And then he gives a parenthetical statement, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And that day means when it was preached. There were some believers. And he's going to be admired by all of his saints in that day. He's not going to be admired by everybody, but he's going to be admired by his saints. And that also deals with the second coming of the Lord and some of the things that will transpire. And as I said, from John the 5th chapter in verse 28, marvel not at this, for all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, the ones that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and the ones that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. Now, I want to study the final thing with you, and I want to go over here to 2 Peter, because Peter's going to discuss what's going to happen in the end, as he calls here, from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I want to begin with about verse 10 and read it to you. Now, let's go over our order again. Christ, the first fruits, which has already happened. The next thing on the agenda, the next thing you're going to see is Christ coming in the clouds. The dead in Christ are going to be raised. Then we Christians are going to be caught up with them, you see. And then the end's going to come. That's number 5. Now we're going to study about the last thing, is the end. What end of what? The end of this world. into this world. Someone says, who made this earth? God did. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Someone says, does he have a right to destroy it? Well, if he made it, he does. And he made it. Now, I know you're going to read, if you listen to the history station, they'll tell you that this earth was formed from some asteroid years ago that sloughed off. And this earth, I heard one man say, I believe it's last week, he said this earth was red hot for a million years. It was red hot before it cooled off, after it was flung off from an asteroid. I don't believe that foolishness. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you better believe it. God made this earth. And he has a power to destroy it. He has the right to destroy it. He didn't intend this earth to be a permanent dwelling place, although some people try to make it heaven. This earth is not heaven. Some folks try to make heaven out of it, but they're all disillusioned and disappointed. Peter, what's going to happen? Well, he says, read it in verse 10, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We're studying the fifth thing in the order. It's going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Well, he's talking about the atmosphere. There's going to be a great noise. This is after people have been caught up, though, you see, away from it. You're not going to be involved in this. Someone said, well, these folks that have been left here that didn't make it in the rapture, they weren't raptured up. Is hell going to be here on earth? Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says the earth's going to be burned up, all right. And you'd have to go to other passages to find out what's going to happen to those folks. But I want you to notice what's going to happen to the earth. He says, it shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's right. Elements, he's talking about the atmosphere above the earth. It's going to be on fire. It's going to be a horrible scene, my friend. The earth also, notice that word also, the earth, you know what the earth is, don't you? You're standing on it right now. It's revolving upon its axis, just like God made it. The right distance from the sun and the right degrees from the sun, 23 5/10 degrees, which keeps us from burning to death or freezing to death. I know people will tell you that has happened by cosmic chance, but I don't believe in that foolishness. I believe that God made it that way. And if we were in close to the sun, which is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit at its surface, we couldn't stand it if we were any closer. Or we couldn't stand it if we were any farther. Someone says, but all that just happened by chance, didn't it, preacher? Not by chance at all. It's God's plan. God made us that way. And this old earth is revolving on its axis, and it just keeps on revolving. And it's going to do that until the Lord comes again, because God set it that way. Someone says, well, I heard that man might destroy the earth. No, God's going to have that privilege. Now, man may do a lot of destruction, and he may hurt himself by fooling around with a lot of things. He ain't going to destroy this earth. The Lord's going to have that privilege, according to this text. And it says here that the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Someone says, well, you mean all this that I've saved, this house that I built out on the corner, and this nice automobile that I drive, and my jewelry, and all of these things and these toys that I have on earth, and you mean I'm going to lose them? You're going to lose every one of them. They're going to be burned up. Someone said, well, I put a lot of faith in that. Well, you put it in the wrong thing. You need to put it in the Lord. You know, the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But he said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves can't break through and steal. And so if you put your faith in these material things, you put it in the wrong thing to begin with. Now, God maybe has blessed you with these things, and you can enjoy them to a degree. But you better not put your faith in materialism. I tell you, my friends, you're going to be disillusioned if you do. Because it's gone. It's gone. And so the end's going to come. Now, notice what he says. Shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works thereof that are therein shall be burned up. Well, I think that's rather clear. I think I know what's going to happen to this earth one of these days. It's going to be consumed. Someone says, but why does God want to do that? Well, that's just his business. That's just his plan. And you know, God, if he made this earth and he put us here, which he did, he has a right to do with it anything he wants to. And I'm not going to fuss about that. I just hope that I can be caught up among those people that are saved. And that's why you have the gospel. And that's why I'm preaching today. And that's why you're here. And that's why we had four baptized a couple of weeks ago and a few more the other time, is they want to be a part of that. They want to go to heaven. And that's why we have preaching. That's why we have church services. We're trying to save souls, my friend. We're trying to get people ready for this rapture, the Bible rapture, I mean. The people that are caught up. We want you caught up. We don't want you to remain here on earth when Jesus comes. That's sad, to want to take off when you can't. It'd be sad. But that's what's going to happen according to God's order. I gave you the five steps. It's in the book, my friend. I just read it, didn't I? I believe I did. I'm just reading about it. Now, Peter, after he says what's going to happen to this earth, seeing that these things shall be dissolved, these things, that is, on earth are going to be dissolved. You know what something is when it's dissolved. It disappears. If you take a little sugar and put it in your iced tea, it's dissolved. You stir it up and you don't see the sugar anymore. It's gone. He said, seeing that these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation? He says, you better think about how you're living. See? And he says, all holy conversation and godliness. Who are going to be caught up? Well, the ones who live godly. And Peter said, since all this is going to happen to the earth, you want to stay down here on this earth. You want to be caught up. You want to be up there in the clouds with the Lord. So shall you ever be with the Lord, as it said. And then he says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, whereas the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He says the same thing again. And he says that ought to make you think about what kind of life you're living or not living. He said it ought to get your attention. And if it doesn't, I don't care whether you believe he's going to come or not, whether the Lord's going to come, he's going to come. Just as sure as number one has happened and Christ is the first fruits of the grave and that's behind us, these other things are before us. The coming of the Lord, the dead in Christ, Christians being raised with them, you see, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the end comes, the end of time, when this earth will be destroyed. If you're here today and subject to the invitation, if you are not ready for that rapture, if you're not ready to be caught up, and you can be ready, as Peter says, if you want to be, it's just up to you. You can obey the gospel. You can become a Christian. You can be saved. And you can be ready when the Lord comes. And I hope if you're here and you're not ready, that you'll get ready. You should, at least. We hope you will. Let's stand now and sing our invitation song.